The reading today is in Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 17. That is also the text of the sermon. Hear God's inerrant, infallible, God-breathed word. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See, thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, Go, and he goes, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered to them. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we humbly come before you. We pray, Lord, you would illumine our minds this day and give us understanding of this, your holy word. Cause us to rightly worship you this day. And we pray you would make application in our lives by the workings of your Holy Spirit. We pray you prosper us in the faith to the praise and glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus. In whose name we do pray. Amen. God gives us assurance in his word in Isaiah 55 and verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. As I mentioned earlier, the sermon text today is the same as the reading, Matthew 8, 1 through 17. And the sermon has a title called The Great Physician. And before we start this chapter, or chapter 8 here, I thought some background might be helpful. As this chapter follows the Sermon on the Mount, wherein the Lord Jesus taught many things. The apostle writes in Matthew 7, 28 and 29, And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Jesus had, with all authority, instructed the people in the Sermon on the Mount, in the doctrine which they are expected to be or to live as followers of Christ. And they were astonished at his doctrine. Astonished having the meaning of that they were amazed. They were amazed not only at his doctrine, but in the manner in which he taught them, as one having authority. The Greek word for authority in verse 29 is exousia, meaning in the sense of ability, privilege, force, capacity, competency, freedom, authority, jurisdiction, liberty, power, right, and strength. We are reminded of the words that Jesus spoke prior to giving the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And this word for power is the same as a word of authority in the Greek in this verse 29 in Matthew. So it is exousia also. Hebrews 4:12 tells us, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. With that little introduction, let's go into Matthew 8, where Jesus heals a leper. Matthew 8, 1 through 4. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. Those great multitudes which followed Jesus were many of the same ones who he had just taught at length in the Sermon on the Mount. They had just been fed a great spiritual banquet, and they were wanting to be fed more. The more we feed on the Word of God, the more we want to know more of it. Thus, we are moved along from milk to the meat of the Word. God made a way for this leper to come to Christ. And in the presence of a great multitude, the leper worshiped Jesus. He acknowledged Jesus' lordship and authority over his personal circumstance, which to the world was an incurable disease. The leper approached the throne of grace with humbleness and great faith. He publicly worshiped Jesus in front of a great multitude, and although he was on his way to probably a most horrible death, he did not even request that Jesus heal him. He merely stated that this Jesus whom he worships has within himself the power over all flesh. Thus he says to Jesus, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He was not only confident that Jesus was able to heal him, he was also able, or content might be too big of a word to use, to leave that decision entirely in the hands of Jesus. It seemed that he was. The leper was a humble man. Leprosy would likely do that to you as you watch your skin lose all its color and become white and your flesh begins to slowly deteriorate. But not every leper, excuse me, but not every leper is healed. In fact, at that time, almost none of them were. But true faith is not only a true knowledge whereby we hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in his word, but also a hearty trust that the Holy Spirit works in us by the gospel, that not only to others, but to me also, forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. That's Heidelberg Catechism number 21. The leper exhibited great hope for that his Lord would heal him from this incurable disease, as far as men knew. But he seems to have something greater in mind when he says to Jesus, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." We are all lepers in the sight of God, having been born in sin and into a corrupt world. It is our sin which separates us from God, who is holy. It is only when we know Christ as Savior, when we know that in Him we are clean. The world may call us unclean, as they did the lepers. And they may persecute us as being unworthy of their association as we pass through this valley of tears. Think of those in the Mideast that are being persecuted now and chased and hunted for their faith. But those who are in Christ are clean in the eyes of His Father, and no one else is. Those that Christ has made clean will have and will continue to suffer while in this sin-cursed world. The world will think you are foolish for faithfully worshiping one who died on a cross as a common criminal some 2,000 years ago. They will mock all the things that they cannot understand unless the Holy Spirit takes the blinders off their eyes and unstops their ears, that they may hear and be saved. The leper knew that, as the apostle said in Romans 14, verse 8, "For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's." The leprosy was used for good in the life of the leper, as the multitudes made way for the man who was deemed unclean. You can probably see them spreading apart, getting away as he approached. He was forced to live outside the gate because the disease was so terrible and the people were so afraid that they would contract it. Sin is like that in the sight of a holy God. Not that God is afraid that He will contract it from us, but that we outside of Christ are lepers that must live outside the gates of the holy city. The leper knew what the song says that we sing. He knew the merits of it. How does it go? What can take away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. The leper was resting in Jesus when he proclaimed, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Jesus' response to the leper was immediate. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. When Jesus healed the leper, it was immediate and complete. The Savior put forth his hand, and the disease fled the leper. The leper, having owned Christ as his Lord, and having also received the blessing of healing, now was the servant of Christ. And as a servant of Christ, he was instructed by Christ as follows in Matthew 8, 4. "And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony to them." By commanding the leper to go show himself to the priest and to offer the gift that Moses commanded, Christ, who was born under the law, he was the great lawmaker, but he was also the great lawkeeper. He was keeping the law as required for our sake. As Christ himself kept the law, the leper, whom he made whole, was told to comply also, that the miracle might be properly documented by the priest. It was not by the keeping of the law that the leper was healed, rather by the commandment of Jesus that the leprosy fled from him. As the leper was cleansed from his disease by appealing to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, such is the case with every sinner. Only by the effectual working of the Lord Jesus in our behalf shall any be cleansed of that disease of sin. Returning to our text, Jesus heals the centurion's servant, Matthew 8:5-13. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Now we should note that there was little rest for Jesus once his ministry commenced. Yet weariness never kept him from doing acts of kindness and mercy. And when Jesus, Matthew 8:5-6, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. A centurion, children, if you don't know, in the Roman army, he ranked between an officer and a non-commissioned officer. He's somewhat equivalent to that of a modern sergeant major. It was a position of great responsibility in the Roman occupation force. And all Jews were subject to it. This centurion was beseeching the favor of Christ for another and displaying a great hope in the compassion of Christ and his willingness to cure his servant. Out of his care and regard for his sick and gravely ill servant, the centurion humbled himself and sought out Christ. Being sick of the palsy in the text, it means being paralyzed and greatly afflicted. He was a gravely ill servant who was likely on his deathbed if no one intervenes. He was unable to move and in great distress. So the centurion sought Christ, no doubt having heard of the testimony of others, of his power to cure diseases. And when he found Jesus, he gave him information about his servant, and then he waited on the Lord. The centurion was also giving testimony to the world that although the Lord Jesus, being a Jew, was under the Roman yoke, this did in no way hinder his ability to do good. The name of Jesus had been made known to the centurion, and he had come to faith in Christ's power to heal. He, as did the leper, recognized the authority of Jesus over the realm of sickness and death. Do you understand this truth? Is the question. It is well explained in Heidelberg Catechism number 27. What do you understand by the providence of God? The almighty, everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were, by his hand, he still upholds heaven and earth with all creatures, and so governs them that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty. Indeed, all things come not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. Jesus' response to the centurion was immediate, and we read in Matthew 8, verse 7, and Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. His response was more than the centurion had asked for. There was a sheep who needed care, and Christ was more than willing to humble himself and accompany the centurion to his home, where his sick servant was confined. We notice in the text, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. The centurion was a great and disciplined man in the eyes of the world, but he understood his unworthiness before God. He did not come demanding a cure, as did Naaman the Syrian, who was also a centurion, as he did when he sought out Elisha. But rather, he came beseeching Christ, showing great respect for him. In a great example of true faith, the centurion answered and asked Jesus to speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He understood the principle of authority and had such a great faith in the authority of Christ in the spiritual realms that he had no doubt that Jesus could effect a cure by simply speaking it. When Jesus heard the centurion believed, the text, he says he marvels. I misread that. I'm sorry. When Jesus heard what the centurion believed, the text says he marveled. Christ admired the stated faith of the centurion. Christ not only rewarded the faith of the centurion by the healing of his servant in the selfsame hour, but he used the occasion to prophesy to those who were following him that many shall come from the east and the west. They would be Gentiles, and that they would sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. We read in Acts 28, verse 28. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto you Gentiles, unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And we read in Acts 13, verse 48, and when the Gentiles heard this, meaning the gospel, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. The centurion, who oversaw the occupation of the Jewish homeland, was in a natural sense the enemy of Christ. Christ was truly the king of the Jews. Yet we remember the words of Christ in Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Not that the centurion did that to Jesus, but it would be the usual behavior toward a Jew. If you were a Roman centurion. Concerning the unbelieving Jews who thought that simply by their birth they were entitled to salvation, Jesus says in Matthew 8, verse 12, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The outer darkness is a realm of hell. It is totally devoid of any light. Yet it burns with an invisible fire. and it is a dwelling place of those who seek heaven on their own merits, rather than by true faith in the finished work of Christ alone for their salvation. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Here's the greatest reward that can be given. Public confirmation of your faith in Christ by Christ himself. Faith in Christ is not in vain. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus heals, fulfilling prophecy, the final three verses here, four here, in Matthew 8, 14 through 17. When Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. You notice it wasn't even necessary for Peter to speak or ask. Jesus simply touched the hand of his mother-in-law, and the fever she had left her, and she arose and ministered to them. Christ always accomplishes more than we ask or more than we think. As he not only healed, he strengthened her and brought her into minister to them. He gave her an honor, a place in the Holy Word. With Jesus, it's not a long recovery, but rather an instant healing and bringing into service. She ministered to the needs of both Peter and the Lord Jesus. Does it sound like Jesus had had a full day so far? When most people are thinking they need to slow down and rest. After all, it's evening. The day's well spent. We've accomplished much. But there's our Lord and Savior. After a grueling day, what does the Scripture say? When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. We already know that Jesus, who has bought us and paid for us with his blood on the cross of Calvary, has already taken upon himself our infirmities and borne our sicknesses. He fulfilled Scripture, but not in a leisure manner. Rather, he labored from early until late. He cast out spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. We read in Hebrews 4, verse 12, For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Remember Jesus humbling himself before John the Baptist in Matthew 3. Submitted to baptism to fulfill all righteousness. Let us seek grace to humble ourselves at the feet of Christ, knowing that he can heal us if he wills. And let us remain there, knowing that Jesus is not less able to heal us because he went to heaven. His departing there did not make an end to his ability to heal us. And how many times has he already healed us from some malady or other that we could have died from? May we all hear by God's grace. Be as the Apostle Paul described in Philippians 3 and verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray, Lord, that you would comfort us with the truth of your holy word. That our faith be emboldened and that our lives be used for your glory, and that your only begotten Son would have the preeminence in our lives, in our church, in our community, in our state, in our nation, and in the entire world. We pray that you cause every knee to bow and every tongue to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. While he was still here walking upon this earth, he taught us all to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.